Welcome to Paint Ed. PCA provides painting contractors with connections they need to grow their business. To find out more and to become a member, go to pcapainted.org. Find more great content like this on PCA Overdrive. A subscription to the platform is included with membership. For all you non-members out there, sign up for our free trial. PCA Overdrive is available on the Apple Store and Google Play. In today's podcast, we feature an episode from Paint Ed with Torlando. In this episode, Torlando has a conversation with Mirella Duval about processes for keeping your team and customer on the same page from the close of the sale to the close of the job. With her experience of running a 45-person painting company, Mirella knows how to set up the perfect job. This episode is sponsored by Sherwin Williams and Benjamin Moore.
Welcome to Paint Ed. My name is Torlando. I'm your host. I'm so glad to have you on the show today. I have been thinking a lot about the big picture, the overall experience of our paint jobs. Okay, it's one thing to be really good at the. I feel like sometimes contractors are decent at the bookending stuff. They might be good at the marketing. They might be good at the sales pitch. At the end of the job, they're really good at collecting that check, right? But sometimes our projects in between aren't going exactly as smooth as we had hoped. I remember facing this myself, and you know, if I ever had a complaint, there's this one time period where I just didn't have things quite dialed in, and it was after I had left the field. I was out of the field. I had the crews work in the field. I think it was probably the first time I had really started working and utilizing subcontractors in a hybrid scheme. And I think a lot of you might struggle with this if you're using subcontractors or doing the hybrid model, or you know, and even sometimes with employees, the experience that you're able to provide once you leave the field, and either you're focused on sales or maybe you've even got a sales team. That experience that you provide in the middle, it sometimes just starts to slip away with you. It happens to the best of us. You know, you might have 90 to 95% of the jobs going well, maybe even 99%. But every once in a while, one of those jobs is kind of slipping through the cracks, and you end up with a huge pain on your hands. You got an emotional homeowner or a customer, and it's a real pain. And I remember talking to a friend of mine, and I was just, you know, kind of going on about my woes. And I said, I'm just struggling to figure out what the heck is going on. And he's like, well, you know, in my experience with contractors, he was not a contractor. He was just a guy who had a house. And he's like, my experience has been like, sometimes they'll have a decent website that, you know, everything looks so polished, they bring in the estimator and that seems so good. And then the painters show up to the job site, the contractors show up to the website, and it's just like any other experience. And you get this letdown because they're not clean. They're not professional. They've got paperwork all on the dashboard, and it's just like this, there's just this fall in the experience. And I think for a lot of our listeners who are conscious of these kind of things, they're conscious of the marketing that they're putting out there. They're conscious of those things. And then as they start to grow and scale, it's a really difficult thing because we're dealing with people. And right now, especially with not being able to find solid workers to come and do all this work that's out there, that process, that experience that we're providing, sometimes it just isn't what we want it to be. So I decided that I'll bring on Mirella Vale from Job Progress. She has a lot of experience in this area. She's a former contractor herself, paint contractor herself. She works with a company now, Job Progress, that deals with this in between, kind of helps facilitate these things. And she's got a really unique perspective But what I think you're going to find is that it's a real common sense perspective. And this gal, she tells it like it is. I know she's living in Florida, but I'm sensing some major East Coast vibes. So I'm excited to have her on the show today. Before I bring her on, I just want to give you a quick announcement. If you are interested in listening to more content like this, watching more content like this, please go to the PCA, painted.org, pcapainted.org, and download Overdrive. It's $5.99 a month for members. And there are 400 plus hours of video content aimed at educating you on how to build a better business. pcapainted.org, download Overdrive. Let's go ahead and bring on Marella. Hey, what's up, Marella? How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm great. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing good. So was I right? Did I detect a little bit of East Coast action happening there?
You sure did. I'm from Boston, actually. I lived in Massachusetts my whole life. Yeah. I've been in Florida only a couple of years, so.
Yeah. Okay. Great. So tell our audience a little bit how you initially got into contracting, mm-hmm. and what was your journey like in that time when you were doing that?
Okay. So I got into contracting back in 2005. I was actually hired for a sales and marketing and account executive position for mm-hmm. a pretty good sized company that was growing very rapidly. And I ended up being, part owner of the company because the owner and myself ended up getting married. And and then eventually, we had a pretty large company. It was 45 people. It grew so fast, Orlando. So there was a lot of things that we needed to, that I needed to learn pretty quickly, and put into place pretty quickly. And because my background is, it's retail, cosmetics, a mm-hmm. lot of that experience I got to utilize in the, painting contracting business, only because the standards are very high. I worked for some of the high-end retailers, and I'm a little bit like a pickier person, so mm-hmm. the standards were much higher as far as presentation, image, and customer service, things like that. So those pieces came in very useful in the growth of this company. And we grew a lot. We grew, 40% the first year. And it was tremendous growth. So I eventually, after the whole, crash and everything, I opened up my own company mm-hmm. in 2009, I believe it was. And then I had my own company for a while. I did, state jobs, commercial jobs, residential jobs. Mm-hmm. So it was a little bit of everything, and I had to kind of learn on the way. So it was great. It was great because I'm a person that I'm always trying to learn something. So, and with that came all of the things I was seeing in the industry that was lacking. So, and it was kind of like, okay, this is such a great industry, and there's so much potential in it, but it's kind of lacking a little bit of the customer service piece, the organization piece, from where I was seeing it, from a lot of, I would go to a lot of networking events and a lot of things like that. And just things that I would see, I had a vision of what I wanted my company to be. And then, how I was going to make a difference in the, in the industry. So
in the intro, you were backstage listening in on that. How much of that resonated with your experience building your contracting business?
Pretty much all of it. I mean, it was, everything you said, pretty much. I think what we tend to forget as contractors is, we do focus on, getting the paycheck, getting the job, getting, the estimate out there and all those things. But we forget, all the papers in front of the van, all the, you know, showing up like you've had that painting Sherwin Williams shirt or whatever shirt it is with the paint pants, like you've had it, you've worn it for like 100 paint jobs, you know, yeah. Like, you know,
it's
like
so crusted with paint, it could you could stand it up in the corner.
Exactly. And you know, it's just certain things, like, you know, your van looks like it came out of a paint war, you know, like it's just certain things, the image wise, that's the first thing your customer sees. So mm-hmm. if they see that about you and your company, how do you think they're gonna think your craftsmanship is? You know, they're going to think you're sloppy. They're going to think you're not a good painter. And a lot of those painters are fabulous, but yeah. It's the image people see. So, you know, I think it's important to, you know, have everything aligned. So you're consistent from start to finish. Your presentation, like when I used to give estimates, I would always have, you know, the little shoe covers. I would never go into mm-hmm. anyone's home without the shoe covers. I would always wear, like, you know, business attire or something very professional. My guys would never start a job with, you know, all this paint on. I mean, I had a ton of shirts. I had a ton made. Never mm-hmm. start a job with all this paint on it. Their vans were always clean, you know, very organized inside too. Because when you open to get material, that customer yeah. could be standing there. If you have like all these buckets thrown and all this stuff, they're going to see it, you know? So
yeah.
very clean. They had to clean them every week, you know, and organize and everything. You know, and the bottom line is, you know, organization as far as, you know, with your subs, with your employees in your office, across the board, with your, you know, your CRM, which is what we're going to, you know, what we're talking about and all these things, you know, you have to just across the board, because if you're organized like that, and if everything is in place, it's a domino effect.
Yeah.
No, in a good way, because right. the other way is a domino effect in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but I definitely agree with everything you said for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That is an investment, what you're talking about. That is a cost. That is a leadership thing. It's a management thing. You know, what you're suggesting here is that, you know, we're investing in a lot of shirts, and we're investing in the time and energy that it takes to get your crew to keep the vans clean every single week. That's that there's a lot of action there. Like there's a lot of doing and maintaining those things. Mm-hmm. But what I think is so important for people to understand is that the painting process, that is the product. Right. You know, that is the product. The product is not the website. The product is not the sales pitch. Right. The product isn't any of those things. The product is the paint, the actual job, the experience, and the quality of the work. The people that are doing it.
Yeah.
And you know, when I think about technology, I've always thought this about technology. You represent a technology company. The purpose of the technology isn't to the technology isn't the product that you're providing.
Correct.
The technology is there to facilitate people doing their best work. Mm-hmm. Right. It's mm-hmm. there to make sure that your painters are able to show up and just focus on doing a really outstanding job.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To your point, if we're disorganized, if they feel disorganized, you know, I mean, I've had painters come to me. I've had painters leave my company and then come back because they're like, I went and painted for another company. They're a disorganized mess.
Yeah.
I got to have the organization that you have.
Yeah.
Right.
People like structure.
Yeah.
People like structure.
So when we're thinking about, you know, if we were to go about, you know, organizing and putting a structure and process in place for the beginning of the job all the way through the end, if we didn't have a tool, because you know we're gonna talk a little bit about your tool, but let's just say we didn't have a tool and all mm-hmm. we had was, you know, a whiteboard in our office, and we just needed mm-hmm. to list out the steps and then mm-hmm. have everybody memorize them. Mm-hmm. What would the perfect job look like?
Well, I've worked in that scenario, actually, where, you know, there really wasn't a lot of, you know, tools like that to help, and apps and things like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, was the whiteboards, and you have to be creative at that point. You have to create intake forms to get all the customer information. You have to create some kind of a follow-up system. A lot of people use Excel spreadsheets, Word documents, some kind of a filing system. You know, they have something on their desk. Like I used to have something on my desk that was kind of like, okay, follow-up number one, follow-up number two, you know, mm-hmm. and it was kind of like a system. And you create systems. People like systems. And sometimes people get stuck in their systems and they're afraid to kind of get away from the systems and into the easier systems and technology. And that's mm-hmm. what I find a lot of times, that it's their comfort zone. And completely understand that. Makes sense.
Yeah, for sure.
Completely understand, because they've been working like that for 10, 15 years. I get it.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, graduating, because that's a graduation from the mm-hmm. system that's been working for you for so long, and going into, you know, a system that has been developed and has been proven to increase your productivity, to increase profits, mm-hmm. and overall, like, help everybody in the company. It's just, it's amazing. And people that are afraid, but then eventually do it, they're like, oh my God, why didn't I do this sooner? So, you know, the whiteboard and everything, whatever works for you, works for you. That's great. Yeah. If you want to stay that way, by all means, stay that way.
So yeah, 100%. So like, tell me what the, what is a pre-job? I want to know what, in your mind, what the perfect pre-job, during the job, and post-job looks like. So let's focus on the pre-job. What does a pre-job process look like to you? That's like really outstanding.
A pre-job. Okay. So like from the start to finish, like when I get the phone call.
Yeah, no. So let's say you've made the sale. Okay. Yep. You've made the sale. They've signed the contract. They've given you the deposit. The crew is about to receive the work order. How does it look from there all the way up until the crew shows up and knocks on the door and says, I'm ready to paint your house?
Okay, so for me, the most important is communication. So for me, once the customer receives the information, the work order is ready. If you have subs, the work order gets sent over to, say, a subcontractor portal, or somehow gets emailed to the subcontractor, something like that. To me, a portal is ideal. That's what I've used mm-hmm. most recently. So they see everything on the portal, all the information that you want them to see, the job, you know, and everything. They can access it from the app. So they have access from there. They can, you know, click on a little, you know, thing just to know how to get there. Mm-hmm. And then from there, they, you know, whether they're buying the material or not, you know, they buy the material. And then there's a way that they can invoice their, you know, their price or their to get payment through mm-hmm. the subcontractor portal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It would be ideal if you could pay them through the subcontractor portal, you know, that would be ideal.
Sure. Right.
Cause it would make your life a lot easier, and all these payments, you know, you can do like from the app or from the office or what have you. You know, the communication part, you know, they can communicate via the app, text messaging or email or whatever to anyone that's in the office,
mm-hmm.
because they don't need to be going back and forth to the office.
Right.
If need be, they can communicate to the customer if it's a sub that you want to have that kind of access. If mm-hmm. not, you can turn that kind of access off.
Mm-hmm.
You can also... what's the other thing I was just thinking of? You can send like any additional information as far as pictures, any documents that you get from the job site, like before and after or anything, and mark it up, make words on it or anything. Like let's say my sub is on a job site and mm-hmm. he needs to, you know, do something, and he wants my input or my feedback or whatever. He takes the picture, puts it in the customer file, because all the information, pictures, documents, text messages, communication, everything is in the customer file. It's housed in the customer file. So you don't have to look through text. John, he doesn't have it on his text. Someone else doesn't have it on their WhatsApp. It's all in the customer file. And everyone can see everything there that's been communicated through that job. So he takes a picture of that job, and then I can see it, whether I pull it up on the app or if I'm in the office, I can pull it up right in the office because it's instantly. And then I can look at it, and then I can, you know, obviously either call him or text him or, you know, say anything, say, okay, you know what, let's do this, this, and that. And then the communication is instant. It's instantly. Yeah.
Let me just recap for a second. Okay. So pre-job here, the ideal situation is we take the work order and we get it into some type of portal where your employee or subcontractor can view it. They can order the materials. They could get to the job site. They know what they're doing once they get there. Okay. And now I think we're getting into the job itself. What are the first steps that we need to really understand to have a really solid experience? What did the painters do when they first show up?
So when they first show up, they, the customer already knows what crew is going to be there and the name of the crew leader, let's say, because it's on the customer portal. It's been, everything's been there. And the date that they're going to show up is also there because it's highlighted in the calendar that's on that portal. So they show up, they have, you know, all the equipment and what have you. The painter goes and introduces himself, the crew leader, you know, lets him know, Mrs. Jones, we are here to start your project. Is there any questions that you have before we get started or anything? Is there something that you need to discuss? Or anything like that I need to call the office. So if there's, you know, nothing, you have a question?
Yeah, I'm going to chirp in here. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
So one thing that I always instructed was, you know, confirm the details of the work order. Go through and do a walkthrough with them to get, you know, the layout of the land. Exactly. But then if there's anything that is not on the work order, that is an opportunity to say, hey, I noticed that this room isn't on here. Would you like a price in case you want to do it today?
Correct.
So there's opportunity to upsell at that point.
Correct. Yeah, definitely. So, you know, go through all of that, see if you can add anything, if there's something else, because maybe you gave this estimate 3 months ago. I mean, the way everyone's busy now, you might have given this 3 months ago, and maybe they decide, you know what, we're going to add, you know, these two rooms. So yeah, go through the work order, do all of that. If in fact they're going to get, you know, an estimate, if that crew leader is allowed to give an estimate, then, you know, just communicate it via the app through to, you know, the office or whoever it is that takes care of that. They can give the estimate, and there's they can do the estimate actually right there on the app. They can have the customer sign right there as well, if they're allowed to do that. If not, then, you know, someone else can go out and do that, but they can do the estimate right there. And then the line items and everything, have them sign, collect the deposit if need be, or the customer can go on the portal and they can pay the deposit over there, because they can accept it over there too. So very, very streamlined, very simplified. Yeah. And then, you know,
what are some of the things that you think are, in terms of the experience, you know, some of the because technology enables people to be human. That's what I think. Right. And yeah, if we hide too much behind the technology, if we rely too much, then it's, you know, then they're just having experience with a computer and they're not having, you know, experience with the people. So I think it's really important to use technology to facilitate these things, but also to enable a more human experience. In your opinion, what are some of the little things that you can do to make the experience really personable and enjoyable person to person?
I think for me, like I always try to like talk to them a little bit about their lifestyle and what they're doing, and, you know, and then I'll make a note you know, like, has three kids, son plays soccer, something like that. And then if they say, you know, people love to talk about themselves. So if they say, oh, you know, we just came back from a trip, we went to Hawaii, blah, 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 I'll make a note of that. And I'll be like, you know, how was that trip in Hawaii? Or, you know, something like that. Like, I'll make it a note and they'll be like, oh, how do you remember that? That's really nice. You know, they feel special because you remember something about them. So I always like to get into a little bit about, what their lifestyle is, what they're doing, kids, sports, things like that. Get a little bit more on a personal level or compliment them in their home. Wow, that's a really beautiful picture or a portrait or something like that. You know, I'm a talker. So yeah. I'm always like pulling something and trying to talk about something. Just to really, you know, kind of like, treat them like friends and family almost, you know, like almost like I'm a guest in their house. And what would a guest do? You know, what would a guest talk about? That's how I think. I think I'm making a friend, you know, because in actuality, you want to make a friend because you're looking for referrals. You're looking, you know, a good review and things like that. So people buy personalities. If you have a great personality, they're going to love you and they're going to buy from you and they're going to recommend you to others. So
with the painters, how do you get your painters to kind of carry that vibe throughout the progress of the job?
For me, it was really hard, Orlando, because I had the language barrier. I had a lot of my painters didn't speak English. So I think you have to be a role model. I think if they see you, you know, the image of the company is everything. And I would always talk to them about that in, like, you know, quick meetings that we had or anything. And like, listen, you represent a company that is friendly, that is professional, and that is there for the customer, no matter what, you know, no matter what they need, you're there for them. So, you know, they would see me like interact and they would see me, you know, like, do whatever it is I was doing, talking to them or, you know, giving them a little TLC or maybe, you know, I would, no, don't worry about that. We'll take care of that for you. Like if they were painting a ceiling and, you know, I saw that the fan was really dirty. I'm like, no, we'll take care of that for you. We'll clean it. We're already up there. We'll clean it. Yeah. We're doing the trims over here. Don't worry. I'll have my guys, you know, clean the baseboards or whatever it is. They're going to be vacuuming the dust anyway. I'll have them vacuum that. Don't you worry. We'll take care of you. You know, that kind of thing. And I think when they see that, and when you're role playing that and they're like, wow, you know, like she goes the extra mile. So I need to go the extra mile because this is the kind of company that she's running. This is the kind of company that, you know, we represent. And I would always remind them of that. But not only that, to Orlando, I would do that with them.
Yeah.
I would do it with them. You know, like I would show up and, you know, maybe I would, you know, show up with a big lunch or something. Well, I'd be like, you know what, guys, today I'm going to take you guys out for a nice lunch. I'd take them to a nice Brazilian restaurant or something like that. And I would take care of them. Or, you know, if they did something, like, no, don't worry, I'll take care of it. You know? So the way that I was with the customers, I would also be with them. So I would take care of the customers, but I would also take care of them. And they would appreciate that. And they saw how much the customer would appreciate it. So they felt good about that, you know, wow, she takes care of the customer. She takes care of us, you know? So, you know, they wanted to, that kind of embedded in them, I think, you know, so they would definitely, you know, do that.
Yeah. And I imagine if they're able to really, you know, focus on that experience and then focus on the quality of the work, that when the things come up, those questions like, I do want to add this, or, you know, the way that this is written in the scope, I'm not sure if that's really what we want, or maybe they're change orders. Just having that portal there to just go back to it, you know, it really, I think it allows them to troubleshoot and solve problems, that are sometimes quite emotional. Cause a lot of the problems, especially with homeowners, if they don't have a pathway to sort of complain, it just will go off the rails and they'll be emailing you in the middle of the night and and it's all caps and, you know, it's all this. But having this pairing of, you know, let's be human, let's be personable, let's focus on our crafts, let's focus on the experience, let's you know, clean the fan blades while we're up there, but then when there is an issue, we have this path, and it leads back to the customer portal, right?
That's right. It was never a big deal, anything.
Yeah, there's just a path. That's really smart. So, so we're close. We finished the job. We're closing it up. What does that process look like?
So closing it up, I think, you know, I was always the one doing the final walkthrough with the crew leader. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I was always communicating with the, you know, the customer. And I think it's important to communicate throughout the job, mm-hmm. make sure, you know, that everything is going smoothly and everything, if they have any questions or anything like that. And I was usually, if I had the time, I usually would stop by at least, you know, once a day, once every couple of days or what have you, just kind of touch base with the customer. If I couldn't stop by, I would definitely call. But I think it's important for you to be present. I know some guys are probably going to be like, what the heck? She probably wasn't busy. I'm so busy. I don't have time to do that. But you know what? Even if you don't have time to go there, a quick phone call or a quick text, you know, something like that, you know, just to kind of show that you care and show that you're present and that you mm-hmm. really care what's going on with their home or with their job, with their project. They don't want to think like you left it in the hands of your guys. And if they are having a problem, some people won't complain. They just will never go back to you or won't refer to you. Mm-hmm. Sorry, that's thunder. Sorry. Yeah, that was thunder. And those are the customers that you want to, you know, you want to make sure that you take care of. So that's the thing with me. Like, I'm the kind of person, like, I'll probably never complain at a restaurant or something. Mm-hmm, I just won't go back, you know? Yeah. And that's what I fear of my customers. Like, you may not complain, but then you're going to talk, you know, say, oh, you know what? They were okay, but they didn't do this, this, and that. And then you're going to tell 10 of your neighbors. So I want to make sure that it's going to be the other way around. But the end, you know, walk through with them and then show them everything that was completed, you know, with the work order. I usually have a checklist to go through just to make sure that nothing was missed. They sign at the end as well. Usually, you know, it was electronic when I was using Job Progress, and then, you know, have them sign through it. And then just, you know, make sure they're completely happy if there's anything, any questions or anything like that. You know, just let them know. I usually give like a referral, like a gift card for any referrals. So I would talk to them about the referral program, because they would get a $50 Visa gift card for any referrals. So I would talk to them about that, but I would also let them know I would be sending them something in the mail for it, and an email. So I would talk about that, and then just, you know, let them know that if there was anything that, you know, questions, anything came up or anything at all, to please call me, you know, if they had any questions or anything, and that, you know, I'm there for them no matter what, you know. So just to kind of let them know, you know, that this isn't a one-time thing. I want to make sure the relationship continues. And if there's anything else that they need, as far as, you know, besides painting, feel free to call me. I'm sure I know someone that can help you. I can refer them. So things like that, you know, and then I, you know, check off and everything. And then we make sure that everything is completely, I mean, at this point, everything is completely clean, flawless, and everything, no tools are there, you know, so, you know, and just make sure that they're completely happy.
Yeah. I honestly don't mind that. You know, that's not really the way that I did it, or currently do it when I'm contracting, just because of that time factor. You know, it is it is difficult to always get there. And but the way that you're describing this, to me, I feel like I would be willing to do that sometime, like when I could. And I would strive to make it, like, I wouldn't make it a part of my process that I have to be the one that is doing the walkthrough. I definitely enable the crew leaders to do that.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Like they should definitely be enabled to do all of that, especially because they're there. And if there are touch-ups, they can, they've got their brush right there and they can do it. There's no like going back, but there's an element of this that I think would be valuable for me or some leader to come in and just, you know, get that little, that text message or, you know, the communication from the crew. Hey, we're going to be wrapping up this job, you know, around 3 o'clock. If you're able to be there, great. If not, I'll do the walkthrough. And then it's like, shoot, if I've got the time to pop over and be there with that final reveal and, and, you know, take some pictures and, you know, maybe do a little video interview with the client or something, some of those things that are just not quite reasonable to ask your crew to do. Like it's not quite reasonable. I mean, it, your crew can take pictures of their work. They probably should, but they're not always going to be great at it and their phones aren't always high quality, you know? So it's like, you got to do a lot of work to get those pictures in shape.
For sure.
So going through, I like this idea of being present, going to the jobs, at the very least, just to get some pictures and some video, and to keep the love alive with the customer. And I think I do like the idea of, hey, send me a text when you're wrapping up the job. And if I can come out, I'll come out and do it. That also gives you the ability to model and train a good closeout, keep that process, you know, pure and clean. And then, yeah. And then probably collect the payment. Cause you know, sometimes crew, when, even when you have the, when, even when you tell the crew, you got to do a final walkthrough, sometimes the homeowners just, they're not home when you are done. And so you miss the walkthrough and then they come back. So I like this idea of being flexible with the with the closeout and being willing to show up, not mandating, not necessarily having it be an official part of your process, but having it be an option because it will improve the customer service experience. Okay, so post job, and we got we're almost at the end of our time here. So post job, you've wrapped it up, and you, it sounds like a lot of this you were facilitating a lot of this through job progress. Why don't you take a couple minutes to just tell us how job progress fits into this this process that we're talking about.
Okay, so job progress actually, you know, changed everything for me because I was a one-man show. So I was running the business and doing the estimates and invoicing and QuickBooks and all those things by myself. And at one point I had like 18 guys. So you know, it was a lot for me. And I'm not saying everyone's going to be able to do all these things. There were times that I had my crew leader, you know, do the walkthrough or whatnot. But ideally, as you were asking, ideally, that would be my ideal. But, you know, I had tried several different platforms before. And, you know, there's never one that's 100% doing everything that you want. But For me, job progress is the one that gave me everything that I needed as far as everything I needed to do in the office, I could do from the app.
Yeah.
Everything. And then, you know, with the unlimited storage, unlimited, you know, like messaging, text, emails, all those things, and keeping everything organized under the customer file, for me, that was so huge for me because I simply didn't have time to get back and stay up until 11, 12 o'clock, you know, to organize photos, to organize text, to do, I just didn't have the time. I was exhausted. So, just the communication that I had, no matter where I was, whether I was in Boston, New Hampshire, it didn't matter. And to have, be able to have my guys, you know, communicate with me because I had them scattered everywhere. It was so, so flawless for me. And it made my life so much easier. And then, you know, electronically, the electronic signatures, I mean, everything overall. Yes, was it missing a couple of things that I could have used? Of course.
Sure.
Of course.
Yeah, they all are.
Because like I said, there's not 100% perfect CRM out there. And I'll be the first to say it, there isn't. But is there one that's 98% perfect for you that you don't have to use like 3 or 4 platforms? Absolutely. And for me, job progress is the one. And you know, it just changed everything for me. So there's just so much you can do. And the automation part of it is great because there's a lot of things I couldn't remember, Torlando.
Yeah, right. So
I had to set it up to remind me the tasks, you know, the automation to automatically, you know, send out the emails and things like that to, you know, to customers to create tasks automatically for the guys. It was just a lot for me.
Yeah.
It helped me tremendously. It helped me tremendously.
Awesome. So is that, so where do we learn more about Job Progress? Is that jobprogress.com?
Yeah, you can actually, you can go to jobprogress.com or email directly to me. You can email me. It's morella@jobprogress.com. So you can email me and I can send some videos out. I have certain videos that I like to send out. So you can go to, so you can email me and then I have a special price as well for anyone who gets this information from the podcast. So be better to email me and I'll send certain videos and everything. And we can set up a, you know, either a one-to-one demo with that person. I can walk you through the entire platform. We can set up a webinar too, you know, for anyone, if there's a group that wants to, you know, see it, I'd be more than happy to show anything, you know, that they want to see and walk them through the demo and show you how it works. I also show the app. So I walk through the app and everything, which is key to this platform. So it's fantastic.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you so much, Morella, for being on the show. I enjoyed the conversation. I think it was really helpful to hear how, you know, you were laying out each phase of the project from, you know, from the sale all the way to the end. You know, I think our listeners definitely value hearing from somebody who's been able to scale. I mean, you know, 45 painters is no joke. Being on your own, even 18 painters on your own, that's no joke. Dealing with subs with language barriers. Okay, a lot of us experience that and know how that goes. So I think it was very helpful to our audience. Thank you so much.
I hope it was. Definitely. If anyone has any other questions, you know, feel free to call me or anything like that. You know, there's a lot that I've learned with JP and you know, and on my own and stuff, but I'm here to help. So
awesome. All right. Thank you, Morella.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too. All right, there you have it, Morella DeVale from Job Progress. You know, I really enjoy having conversations. You know, I do bring on a lot of vendor type people, coaches, you know, business people, experts in the field. The reason I do that is because I love the outside perspective. You know, sometimes when we're only looking at things from within the industry, we can have blinders on, and there's so much value to get outside of it. But in this case, we have somebody who's got both things happening. She's got the experience of running a contracting company. She's bringing in her expertise with the technology. And I got to tell you, folks, I remember the day when I realized that technology was gonna help me grow. I was on a ladder myself. I was still in the field. I was on the ladder, and I just remember thinking, I don't have an office. You know, I'm in the field, I'm working with my crew, and I just wish there was a way to run my company from my phone. And the reality is you could do it. You could do it these days. You know, there are so many apps and things out there. Job Progress is one of them. Okay. I this isn't an official endorsement, by the way. I haven't used it, but Morella seems really cool. But the fact is that, you know, if you were not incorporating technology into your company, you need to start thinking about how to do that. You need to start taking those demos, getting those demos and figuring out which ones are going to make your lives easier. The reason being is that it saves time. It makes you look more professional. And it keeps everybody organized. Doesn't, you know, there's so many out there that you can use. It sounds like Job Progress is a really great option. Last thing that I want to tell you guys before I head out. If you are not a member of the PCA yet, you should be. One of the benefits is going to be findapainter.org. You get a free listing on findapainter.org where you can be found by potential clients, but also finding workers looking for work. You'll have a listing. It'll have all of your details, your website, phone number, email, website, address, all that stuff. People search by address, you pop up, and it's such a wonderful, wonderful tool to legitimize your business and get found. Go check out findapainter.org to get found in your area. This has been a wonderful show. I'm so happy and glad that you have been on listening. My name is Torlando, and I look forward to seeing you guys in person in March down in Orlando at the National Expo. Go to pcapainted.org for more information. Until next time, this has been Paint Ed.
Paint Ed podcasts are produced by the Painting Contractors Association and is made possible by members and industry partners. To find out more about upcoming education opportunities or for more information about joining PCA, visit pcapainted.org.